April 17th marked the centennial of the birth of the playwright Clifford Odets, and among the celebrations are an exhibit of some of his paintings. Yes, he also painted at a New York gallery. And Lincoln Center Theater has staged a new production of Awake and Sing, Odets' first full-length play, and the one that made him, at 28, a literary superstar in 1935. Although Time put him on its cover and Cole Porter rhymed his name in two songs, his years in Hollywood and his appearance before the House and American Activities Committee as a friendly witness tarnished his reputation, and then critics started calling his plays dated. Well, the revival of Awake and Sing gives us an opportunity to evaluate for ourselves the play that was credited in 1935 with transforming American theater. The Outer Critics Circle has already awarded a Best Ensemble Performance to its cast, which includes Ben Gazzara, Lauren Ambrose, Pablo Schreiber, Mark Ruffalo, and Zoe Wanamaker. So it is with great pleasure that I welcome back to my show today two of those cast members, Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Wanamaker, both of whom have been nominated for Tonys. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
America's changed a lot since the time that Odets was writing about, 1935, and yet you're performing this at the Belasco, the theater that it was originally performed in. Were you aware of that?
Yes. We were. I think.
Did it give you a sense of history and continuity?
Yes, very much so. It's very. It has a special magic about it, knowing that the group theatre worked there and opened there, and seeing that extraordinary building, which is full of Tiffany glass, and it's a great. I suppose it's an honour, really, isn't it?
And continuation.
Mm.
Also, the group theater, when you look at who performed in it, the first performance, Stella Adler, John Garfield, Morris Karnofsky, Sanford Meisner, that was extraordinary. I don't know whether, obviously you didn't see those performances, but you have to think about what Stella Adler would have done as Bessie when you take on a role like that.
Yes. Well, you can only imagine, but then you have to then transfer it all to 2006 and the production that we have in hand, and also why we're doing it now, which is something that I think we're all very aware of as a cast. I think it's very important to us that the political voice that was being talked about then, that Clifford Odets was talking about, was very relevant now, and even more so now.
Speaking out against the inequities of society.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. The other thing was about the group theater and those people and coming in their path or their shadow was the style of work that they were doing at that time became what is known now as the probably American style or the method, you know, the beginning of all those people went on to teach the method. Certainly.
Well, Lee Strasberg yes. was one of the originators, one of the founders, Harold Clurman and Cheryl Crawford. And they were
and Stella
committed to...
And Sanford.
They became teachers on their own rights.
Yes, yes. And so the play lends to a certain ensemble style that I think was new on Broadway at the time. It was dealing with social issues that weren't really being hit in the pop culture at the time. And so... We were very aware as a cast, and our director Bartlett Shear was very aware of what we were sort of the legacy of the play had been, and so we worked very hard as an ensemble on the play.
Yeah, do you actually have to think ensemble when you're working ensemble? Is there a different approach than if a play has two stars and then supporting actors?
I don't think so. I think what Mark is saying is absolutely right. It's the legacy that the group theatre has given us is that we now, as an acting culture, we all are now working in the same sort of way as they were then, and it's now been passed on to us. And so I think for me personally, and I can't speak for Mark, but for me, every play I do is about an ensemble, because every play is a relay race. It has to, you have to fit into the mosaic of what the writer is trying to say and what the director is trying to say. I also have to say that Mark trained with Stella Adler, so he knows more about Stella than I do. And as I was, because of Senator McCarthy, I was brought up in England. My knowledge of Clifford Odets and the group is far less than Mark's.
On the other hand, there is another kind of connection.
Yes.
Your father,
huge.
Sam Wanamaker, left because of McCarthy, mm. and Odets' life was so affected by mm. that era.
And Sam, my father, was also initially trained by Lee Strasberg when he first started at the school, when he first opened his first school. So
everything is connected.
It's hugely connected.
Yes, hugely connected.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that becomes immediately apparent is that Clifford Odets has a version of idiomatic language that is uniquely his. Is that difficult to play? Or do you just get into the rhythms of it the same as you might get into the rhythms of Tennessee Williams or Shakespeare?
Yes.
I think you start working on it and it seems very foreign to you, and the more you do it, the more second nature it becomes. And then the great playwrights, it has its own life that the play begins to support, and it very much, in a strange way, begins to feel very natural to you.
One reviewer wrote, "People never actually spoke like this, and it's a crying shame that they didn't." Odets thought of his plays as songs. He said, "Perhaps I'm the only one who realizes how closely my talent is related to that of songwriters." So I don't know if you knew that when you were thinking about the musicality of some of these
songs.
Not
at all. Not at all. It seemed to be... I think Mark's right. In every great playwright because it has a wonderful ease. Once you start to get into the language, it is an easy thing to do. It's the same with Arthur Miller. You think it's very simple on the page, and as soon as you start working on it, it's extremely natural and very, very adept and light.
Well, Arthur Miller, many people feel, was strongly influenced by Odets.
Yes, he was.
In your case, Zoe, you're speaking with a foreign accent and a Bronx accent at the same time. And is that different than doing any other kind of American accent for you?
No, I do the same kind of amount of research and work on it when I do something. And I've played Southern American, and I've played Chicago.
But they say Southern is easier with a British accent.
I suppose it might be. I don't know. It's always a project for me, whatever I do. So that it was. I was very nervous of coming here. In England, they think of me as an American, and I'm always asked to do American plays. So I have worked in American plays in England. But I was nervous of doing it in New York because I'd never done that before.
And then you have this very complicated character, Bessie. She, at different times, she's almost repellent, and then she's so sadly moving.
She is not on the page. When you look at it on the page, she's not a monster, but a very strong... I mean, I was very keen to show my ancestors, all the mothers that have brought us all up and grandmothers that have fought and struggled for their families. So I was very keen to make sure that you found there's some vulnerability in there. Otherwise, you dismiss her.
And every once in a while you give us a glimpse of that frightened mouse inside this very fierce woman.
I wouldn't... mouse, I wouldn't say, but I would say she's defeated by her own lies, which she creates, and defeated by her own struggle to keep her family together and her principles, to keep her principles and the way she lives. So I think you see her, I would like for an audience to see her caught by that.
Mark, this is your Broadway debut, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you've done theater before.
Quite a bit, yes, but I've never been on Broadway before.
And is that just accidental? Because you had successes with, like, Kenneth Lonergan's This Is Our Youth, you just went into the movies?
I was... I had done 30 plays before I got to This Is Our Youth in Los Angeles, like a fool. And so by the time I This Is Our Youth came along, I had I was kind of ready to try something else and try my getting experience in front of a camera. So I spent a long time doing that. And now I've been deeply longing to get back on stage. And
I heard there was a time when you were proposed for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yes, and it just didn't feel right to me. And it's
what, the play or that production?
That just the configuration of it, compounded with a new child and being away from my wife is just starting a business. Being away from home for 6 months, it just wasn't the right time. And now this came along exactly at the moment when I wanted to get back on stage, wanted to get back in touch with my roots. And then all of a sudden, my roots, Stella Adler's, and the group theater's production with such ties to its legacy. And in a play that I thought politically just really was saying what I was feeling in a lot of ways today, speaking to us today from 70 years from the 30s. And so it just fit beautifully in what I was looking for right now.
And Max Axelrod is a really interesting... Mo Axelrod, yeah. He's a really interesting character.
Yes, he's a World War I veteran who's lost a leg. What part of that working class who is sent into battle for us, and really is mistreated, comes back, isn't handled very well by the Americans who sent him there, and has become totally disillusioned in why he had to go to war in the first place.
He's a petty criminal, wisecracking cynic.
Yes, he's a petty criminal, wisecracking cynic.
But some charm.
I think a lot of charm. I think he has he's sort of the cutting edge of pop culture at that time, what you'd call probably a hip hopper right now. Mm. He speaks a certain truth to people and to certain ideas that can only come from somebody who has been through what he's been through.
Now, people might assume this is a very depressing play. It takes place during the Depression. It's about a family that's struggling in the Bronx to survive and having a really hard time of it. Yeah. And yet, this has to be called a comedy drama, doesn't it?
I think so.
It's beautifully written. I mean, there is something going on all the time. In every act, Clifford has written the most fantastic dynamics in it. And it's funny and it has great charm and wit. It's a beautifully constructed play.
You get some of the best lines, too.
Do I? Well,
at one time, talking about your son-in-law, you say, second fiddle by me, he don't even play in the orchestra.
It's very clever. But I think Axelrod has fantastic... Mo Axelrod has fantastic.
He has one of the most
lines.
Famous lines in the whole play. What is it? Cut your throat, sweetheart. Save time.
It's when speaking about her getting engaged.
Yes.
Yeah, he is... Clifford Odets wanted this kind of wisecracking... kind of quasi-petty gangster have this poetry, but he didn't know anyone to really talk that way, so he had to make up this language. And so Mo has these very colorful, you ain't sunburnt, you heard me, and I seen it, the type no one sees undressed until the Undertaker works on it, these great, beautiful lines. It's a lot of fun.
Then there are the rest of the cast. We have your daughter, Henny, who Mo has a serious crush on, played by Lauren Ambrose. Most people will be surprised after having seen her in 6 Feet Under that she could do something like this. Mm.
No, I think she's extremely
versatile.
It's
a great debut for her.
It is.
And Ben Gazzara, who is just extraordinary as your father.
Mm, extraordinary. It's beautiful. It's really wonderful to be working with these extraordinary talents, and it's, I think Bartlett Shear has pulled together the most wonderful cast. I think a dream cast, actually.
Well, it's interesting that the reviews have been, yes, this is a true masterpiece. It's a pity we haven't seen it for such a long time. Two, it's rather dated. Mm-hmm. So to some degree, I think that he's also maybe affected by the politics of the reviewer. Do you?
You could see which reviewers are calling it dated are usually the more right leading, you know, publications, and the more centrist and or maybe liberal leading publications really hear the politics of the play in a way that I think feels like they're speaking to today. Even that editorial that was in the New York Times, look more on the world and not so much on yourself, has put this play nationally into the political dialogue. Mm. And I think Clifford Odets was a humanist ultimately. He has his characters, he's as a Marxist, a very deeply committed capitalist. He has Mo Axelrod, who's a disgruntled war veteran. And they're all speaking out of their point of view. And in the end, you have the young man who has the compilation of all these beliefs. And you tend to feel like he's going to create what the social scene and the social fabric that America has become, influenced by the ideologies of our European ancestors.
But unfortunately, Awaken Sing is on a limited run. It closes on June 11th. It's at the Belasco Theater.
June 24th.
Well, at the
whatever.
End of June. 111 West 44th Street off of 6th Avenue, the Belasco Theater. My great thanks to both of you so much for having been with us, Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Wanamaker, two of the stars of the new production of Clifford Odets' Awaken Sing.